Tuesday night, 10 p.m., and this is the C3 Podcast.
I guess you've heard of my reputation. I've had my share of fooling around. But everybody needs stimulation.
I had fun, man, just out, you know, you guys joking, you know, we working at the same time, you know, putting the work in as a team. Like I said, man, I'm just glad to be with the guys, you know.
My favorite night of the week.
Good Lord, it's a good day to be a Panthers fan. And we the best. You heard them say it. We are the best, Joe, and we put it on
their hey, list. What's up, guys? It's your boy, the Professor, a.k.a. Tony Dunn, and this is the C3 Podcast brought to you by Carolina Cat Chronicles, where every Tuesday night at 10 p.m., me and my homeboy, Joe Riolano, chop it up, the latest Panthers news from the fan perspective. How's it going down there in the low country, Joe?
Oh, it's a beautiful day today. We got to the 70s. It was, well, almost a 70. It was really, really nice. Got a day of sunshine instead of the rain we've been experiencing. But it is Tuesday night, and Tony, I'm happy to be back. I missed last week, but it's great to be back. We are without the third member of this triumvirate. Aaron Ford, a.k.a. Mil Maya, could not join us tonight, but we're sure he's watching and listening somewhere.
Yeah, Joey, tonight's show is called Is This Where We're Really At? Right? This is episode 16.51. That's right. 51 episodes we've done this season. And just 1 year ago, Joey, 1 year ago, I had just left the Bank of America Stadium and the Carolina Panthers have won the NFC Championship in decided fashion and we're going to the Super Bowl.
How high were you riding that night? Were you riding high? I mean, I bet you were just pumped up.
I mean, it was out of this world. I mean, it was an out of this world experience. The Panthers had gone 15-1 in the season. They go on to win the NFC Championship, like I said, in such decided fashion. The electricity amongst fans, and it carried over, even though the Panthers did not pull it out in the Super Bowl. That excitement still carried over. It carried over as a fan, and it obviously maybe biased my perspective so much because now here we are, 1 year later, and I don't even know if I can say it, brother.
I know. It's hard to say, isn't it?
The Atlanta Falcons are going to be in Houston against the New England Deflatriots. Right. There cannot be a worse scenario for what a Super Bowl is. And I may just not watch it, Joey.
Well, I was thinking, Tony, if you don't want to watch it for the football, just watch it for the commercials. That's what half the people do anyway.
So that's a great point. So I should go and be a typical Super Bowl watcher that doesn't like football.
Exactly. Exactly. Just
like I should be anytime the game's on, I'll be at the bar right. With my back turned, you know, right. Just like pounding drinks. And then the commercials come on and I'm like, hey, this is great.
And then you'll whip around, watch the TV for a little bit, you'll watch the halftime show and see the performers. You know, you can watch it without watching the game.
Very interesting. I think you may have already charted the itinerary for my night on the Super Bowl. All right, like I said, tonight's episode 16.51. You can follow the show using the hashtag C3, or should I say participate in the show. You can follow us on Twitter at @cat_chronicles. And if you're watching on YouTube right now, go ahead and give us a thumbs up and a subscribe. Tell someone about the show. And as always, if for some reason you like what you hear and you want to give a dollar, there is a link in the show description to our Patreon account. It's safe, secure, and you guys, it'd be nice. It's always nice to help creators, help the independent media. Joey, as a fan, actually, let me guys, when I say this to you, is this where we're really at? How do you respond to that? How much credence does that give to the Atlanta Falcons about what they are at this moment? Because in some ways, it's not just to me about the Carolina Panthers in descent into terribleness in some ways, right? But instead, it's about also that plus these stupid-ass Falcons, excuse my language, they have risen to such a level, and I don't like to acknowledge it.
No, it's tough to because you really don't care for these teams. Really, the teams you don't like, but I think the fans is really where you get your most disgust. Some of them are just ridiculous. I can think of a few off the top of my head. I don't want to name names, but I mean, let's be honest. Aside, feelings aside, this Atlanta team is extremely talented on offense. Their offense.
How did they get that good so quickly?
Really, the draft, man. If you look at what they've done, you know, you look back at what they've drafted over the last several years. I'm talking about going back years now. They've made the team better a little bit at a time. And then they brought in a really quality defensive-minded coach. Who knew what type of players he needed to make an impact. He brought those players in. Now, the defense isn't great, but they're good enough. It's that offense that you can't stop. Now, if the defense just gets a couple of stops, a turnover here and there, they're going to win the game. And let's be honest, you know I thought Matt Ryan's best days were behind him. But this year, he's been an unstoppable force. And yes, it's him, but I think more so than that, it's the tools he has around him. If Cam Newton had those same tools, we might be talking about a second consecutive Super Bowl trip for us.
Well, if he had Julio Jones, I mean, he's the best. Yeah. Like, I don't even care. I mean, he's the best. Like, he's awesome.
Yeah, he's really amazing. So, we hate to admit it, but they're a talented team, man. They are good.
You know what makes me mad about this Atlanta Falcons team, Joey, is that last year, and do you remember when we were on that epic run where we just didn't lose? Mm-hmm. And then there were these certain people in the world that I consistently got so mad at. Like, I mean, and they kind of became my bulletin board material. And those were the people that picked against the Panthers every week saying, this is the week.
Right.
This team is not legitimate. It's false. It's fool's gold. This is the week. And there was some guy from one of the podcasts that I was listening to, like a fantasy football podcast. It may have been like NBC. It was some whatever it was. And he picked against them. I mean, we're talking about 9 straight times he picked against the Panthers. 10, 11, 12 straight times he picked against the Panthers.
Wow.
And I remember just being furious. Like, I wanted to go and shake him and say, at some point, don't you just go, maybe I should go the other way because I was wrong so much. Well, here is the problem. I have been that person against the Falcons this year.
Right.
Specifically, Matt Ryan. Every week I go, Matt Ryan is going to throw 4 picks this week. He's going to melt down. Don't you worry. It's coming. It's too good to be true. And then what do you know? They're in the dang Super Bowl. And I cannot be. I mean, I just can't handle it. I hate this team, Joey, more than any other team in the league. In fact, I hate them more than the Patriots. In fact, I hate them so much, I'm going to open this tall boy right here. This big tall boy.
So, does that mean you're going to pull for the Patriots in the game since you hate the Falcons now?
Is that the – no, I'm watching the commercials.
All right. We do hate the Falcons because we are in the same division with them. We hate the Falcons because we know a lot of Falcons fans and they talk a lot of crap. So it's, it really is upsetting to see this team that you don't care for with fans that you don't care for in the big game and feeling confident and cocky that they're going to win. That's the worst part of it, is they think they're going to beat the Patriots.
Like, I saw somebody, so I guess, what's their coach's name again? Dan Quinn?
Yeah.
He was giving his press conference, and it popped up on my Facebook feed where you can watch Facebook Live, which, by the way, is the awesomest thing ever, that these teams are directly streaming these things so we can see them. I like that a lot. So I tuned in to the Falcon, to Dan Quinn's press conference, because I like to do this, and I'll say something like, in fact, in this, I said, go Pats. That's what I did. So I was trolling their comments section just and watching the video. And I saw them, though. So that was the only comment I made. I wasn't going to be talking with the guys. And I saw the fans. And they were like, they were talking about a route. Like, you're going to route the Patriots.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If they would say this, is that if our defense can play as well as it did against Green Bay, is this is going to be open shut case.
Mm.
Right. And I thought, gosh, what I don't think that they realize, or maybe I'm not, maybe it's not that they don't realize it, but I just saw a lot of people kind of say that mess about the Steelers.
Right.
And saying that the Patriots are kind of, they've had an easy road, you know, to the playoffs.
Right.
And who have they really played? What kind of quarterback have they played? Pittsburgh is going to come out. They have an offense. They're a team. And I believed it. I thought they were the team that can that could do it. And then you know what? The Patriots, they destroyed them.
Yeah, they did what they do. And that, you know, this, you got to remember, man, this Patriots team has been in the playoff year after year after year with the same guys. So they've got a ton of experience. They're all pros that can theoretically, you know, sort of walk through the regular season. And when the postseason gets here, they can flip that switch and turn it up a degree or two or 10. And we saw that against the Steelers. You know, we saw this team explode against the Steelers. The Steelers could do nothing to stop them. And
do you know, did you watch the game, Joey?
I did.
Okay. I'm glad you did. Can you tell me what happened? Because I did not watch it. I turned it on. I had the TV on in the kitchen, kind of. It was like half a room over. We were at Miranda's mom's house. We were working, but I had the volume up, and then I could watch the game. And then when it was, I listened to the whole Falcons game. I just listened to it. I didn't really watch any of it.
Right.
And then I turned over to the Patriots game, and I was like 5 minutes late, I feel like. You know, like I had left it on the channel watching them give the trophy out, whatever.
Yeah.
And I turned it over to the AFC game. And it was only, I felt like they weren't even 5 minutes in the game and the Patriots up with two touchdowns.
Right. Well,
and then I just ceased to really pay attention because this was the most epic, worst thing that could happen. Right. Atlanta routes and then New England routes.
Right. It was ugly. Both games were, they were no fun to watch whatsoever.
Like, I didn't miss anything. I didn't watch it.
Right. They were no fun. They were no fun. You know, Pittsburgh never got on track, I don't think. I just think they never got it going. And the Patriots just overwhelmed them. You know, Le'Veon Bell got hurt. So that, you know, took away from the Steelers offense some. But they just never got going. They got to Roethlisberger a lot, the pass rush did, not necessarily sacking him, but making him move, making him throw the ball before he wanted to, just, you know, generally harassing him. And they ran the ball with Blunt, you know what I mean? It was bringing different backs in. they were just doing it New England Patriots style. And I think that's exactly what I expect in the Super Bowl.
In the Super Bowl? I mean, yeah. At this point, how about this? Is the same reason. Now I'm at a impasse. Because all I've done is bet against the Falcons all year. It hasn't worked. Right. And you should never bet against the Patriots.
No.
So I'm just going to watch the commercials. Like you said, who cares? I'm not even going to bet on it. Here, let me ask you this, Joey, about this Atlanta Falcons team, because we need to be more interested in them than we do the New England Patriots as fans. Is this a story? This is where I'm really saddened by this, man. Is 1 year ago, we had people coming on our show that were fans of other teams. Sean Williams, I believe, kind of put it this way, and said that the Panthers were the gold standard of the NFC South. That this is the team that other teams were trying to replicate and catch up with. And then in just in a moment, my question is to you, is this something with the Atlanta Falcons? Is this something that you need to try to catch up with and replicate? Do you need you? Is this a metaphorical moment where you have to draft, or maybe a symbolic would be a better word, a symbolic moment where you have to draft Thomas Davis to spy Michael Vick, like specifically for one test? Do the Carolina Panthers need to find a way to catch up with the Atlanta Falcons, or do you just continue to do what you do?
I think you do what you do. The team we were last year, not this past, but the year before, I guess in 15, could play with this Atlanta Falcons team this year. If we were, on the same field, I think it would be a heck of a ball game. I think we would win because our defense is a little bit better. But we're not that far away. I don't think, we have to start all over.
Well,
I think we have
Kevin Ketchy. By the way, Kevin Ketchy is watching on YouTube. He is, I think I saw him drinking an IPA earlier. Yes, it is. Nice. He's drinking a black IPA, it says, I think.
Yum.
He says, look, we just need an O-line, a playmaker, and a new coordinator. Well, I just need $1 million. I'm just kidding. As Kevin is right, is that in theory, I wouldn't even say a new O-line. Actually, maybe it means an O-line player, right? So if it's an O-line player, I can handle that. It's one decisive player to this offensive line can change the game. Given the fact that maybe if it's a right tackle you add, that Michael Orr returns and can play somewhat to the level he played of not this past year, but the year before, because he was serviceable in that season to the Super Bowl. And he struggled in the Super Bowl, but it looked like a lot of it seemed so much of the turf. And it wasn't like Mike Remmers, who was just getting just manhandled.
Right.
And that's what he says, just not Remmers, anything but Remmers. So in many ways, yes, if you can add that right tackle, that could shore up enough temporarily.
Right.
The playmaker that he suggests, the question is that an offensive, is that a running back? Is that at that moment, do you add a playmaker like a Dalvin Cook that can content, that gives you explosiveness in the run game, or do you aim more for trying to land the next type of, I hate to say it, Julio Jones, which I don't think is out there.
No, I don't think so. I don't think there's a Julio Jones out there. I think an offensive lineman, definitely one could make all the difference in the world. I think the Panthers are looking at Williams as the right tackle of the future.
Gosh, are you serious?
Yeah, I think they are. I think they're really considering him a right tackle. I think that's the direction they're going to go. So we'll see. We don't need a lot. We really don't. We just need one or two players that we can get in this draft potentially.
If that's the case, all right, then what I've mentioned is offensive line, this playmaker that we're obviously trying to identifying the offensive line. But if that is, if we don't need a lot, Joey, one of the things that I'm interested on the defensive side of the ball is Dave Gettleman, when he talked about when he came to Carolina, he's pushing for the defense. He wanted to disrupt with the defensive line.
Right.
He wanted fast speed players in other positions. Do you, as the Carolina Panthers, consider shading away slightly from that traditional idea of the big 295 defensive tackle that is the power tackle, similar to Charles Johnson? Or do you go for somebody who's longer and more athletic, who is reminiscent of like a Vic Beasley or I don't feel like Khalil Mack's all that long.
He's got decent length. You know, he's just so strong and fast. He's got a lot of things that make him a good pass rusher, not just one particular thing.
Or is that Mario Addison, who remains that guy who we try to continue to develop into that? Yeah.
Yeah, well, he's going to turn 30 by the time season starts next year.
Wow, so, really?
Yeah, he'll be 30. So, you know, I don't think it's – I think it's a good thing if we bring him back, because we know what he's capable of. But I still think we got to look for that guy in the draft at some point. Not necessarily in the first round, but at some point we got to look for that guy, because it will be a need. We need somebody that can play the edge, that can bring pressure, whether that's at 275 or at 295. We just need somebody that can bring pressure, just like Greg Hardy did on the last year he actually played for Carolina. He brought the heat.
Dad's sad story, that jerk ass ruined his life.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want to say somebody ruined their life, because that's not my business to judge, but
he ruined his career.
Exactly. And what a descent.
Yeah, man.
It was a real opportunity there.
Oh, yes. You're so right.
There was a branding opportunity for a moment, too, to where we kind of thought it was cute.
Right. You're right. He really missed out, man. He could have made some.
Yeah, and then it turned out to be a disaster, but he had a window, because, you know, some things, sometimes you're just on the line. People that that really hit a nerve in a good way are really on the line of being offensive. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like you have the right air, just like a joke. A joke has to be edgy enough to be funny, but without crossing the line into being in poor taste.
Right. Exactly.
And he had an opportunity to where his gimmick almost worked.
Oh, man. It's so.
And then imagine the gimmick. You would have had the gimmick and the play on the field.
Right.
And then you would have had like a new – it would have been one of the first kind of football players where you saw their face and you knew who they were.
Exactly.
Exactly. Other than that, right. Wasn't a white quarterback.
Right. It really did. He could have had his own shoe deal. You know, so many things he could have done. So many things. It's a shame. And really, the talent that he displayed on the field that year really made a huge difference for the Panthers, man. I think he had 16.5 sacks that year. You know, a four against
crazy. That's crazy.
Atlanta. Yeah, man. We really had if we still had him, good Lord have mercy. The Super Bowl would have been something different, for sure.
All right. I want to say this is that Lynn said on Twitter, she said, she was talking to Mel. Did you see, the tight end, that the a potential drafting of a tight end at number 8 for the Carolina Panthers. Now, immediately, I'm going to say a tight end at number 8 better be like Tony Gonzalez.
Well, he better end up in the Hall of Fame. Exactly.
But, oh gosh, it's already started. All we can do is make jokes. And don't worry, we have already been planning one of the most epic podcasts that we are going to drop as we get closer.
Oh, no.
As we get closer to the NFL draft. But, that's exactly right. Jake Butt, there's a guy who is a tight end who was very, very good that a lot of people. Yeah, he did tear his ACL in the final game of the season.
Yeah.
But his name is Jake Butt. So what a name that would be. That's got to be the number one jersey seller.
For sure. It will be. No doubt about it.
If you wear, and actually I'm not getting political at all, but would that be wearing a butt on your back? All right, that's silly and bad. fail. All right,
not at number eight. I think there's gonna be
I think we need a defensive end. That's what I say, we pick an eight.
Yeah, I think one of three positions, defensive end, safety, or running back, depending on who's there at the time. And you know, of course, we still have the combine to go through and team workouts and all that sort of stuff. So, you know, this is all speculation right now, rampant speculation right now.
Some people are talking about, again, Kuiper. Mario is talking about, mentions that Kuiper is talking Fournette. You know, that's kind of the pick that you see on a lot of them. Panthers fan says he's seen a lot of Panther fans want Dalvin Cook. You know what I think the thing with adding is that the one thing that the Carolina Panthers, and actually we'll talk about this slightly with the defense. I was talking about how Dave Gettleman came into the organization and he said, look, we got to get big and mean on the defensive line and we got to get fast. We need speed on the defense. He said that over and over in the year before going into 2015, what you start to see is you see a Shaq Thompson that's drafted. You see some linebackers that are kind of reminiscent of kind of Dollar Tree versions of Luke Kuechly in so many ways. Is that you don't want to put him in that category, but resembling of that type of player. And then you got guys he's going after, young guys in the secondary, and they have shown that they can, that they have some closing speed. At least that's what I've seen with some of these guys. But the problem that I see with Dave Gettleman's formula, that's a tough thing to say, Dave Gettleman's formula, while you're drinking a tall boy, that's a tough thing to say. Why didn't he apply that on the offensive side of the ball as much? What you see him doing is going big on the offensive side. You see him drafting these big receivers who, at the time of the draft, what we do is we only have the combine stats to work with, right? You have a limited amount of college tape. You look at the combine, and as fans and as sports writers, what you just do is you try to make educated guesses about that information. And everybody has said that those guys – they're big, they're strong, this and that. Sometimes you don't know if they should be a tight end, this or whatever it is. But nobody has ever said they have great speed. Not a single person, because they haven't. And the idea was, is what we've tried to do is continue to say, oh, well, Jerry Rice wasn't the fastest guy.
Which is true.
How many times have you heard that? We have said, this guy, he ran a 4.6, he's the greatest receiver of all time. It's going to be okay.
He never got caught from behind. You know, I can't think of a time Jerry Rice had, you know.
He also played in 19 what?
Played in the
late 80s?
Yeah, late 80s through the 90s.
Right. But my point being is, well, actually, my point being, I haven't made a point yet.
The speed hasn't come over.
Let me just say is that I don't know if Jerry Rice would have been the player he is in today's NFL. Not because he isn't the greatest, but just simply, is there a fact that we're just not fast enough? That's my point. On offense, are we not fast enough on offense?
No, I don't think we are. We're big enough at receiver, but we don't. Ted Ginn is fast, but we need a younger, fast guy, I think. We need a speed guy that can beat somebody one-on-one and, you know, take it 40 yards for a touchdown. You're not going to see Kelvin Benjamin or Funchess beat too many guys. And, you know.
No guys. Not any guys. Right. Zero guys, Joey.
Right. They don't have the speed. And they're not the quick twitch player. You know what I mean? They're the long striders. They're the guys that will box you out and make the tough catch. But you're going to tackle them.
I was listening to the David Glenn show, who he is popular. You know, he's got a – I would say he's big in North Carolina. He's an ACC type of personality, and that is his show is geared a little bit towards ACC college sports, but he tackles all sports – all issues, a ton of monologue. You know, the David Glenn show is just David Glenn talking for like 2 hours and 25 minutes with like 25 minutes of callers. He just talks and talks and talks. And that's coming from a dude who loves to talk. But he raised a point about with Julio Jones. And he said, look, most receivers you throw out there, they're big, like Kelvin Benjamin.
Yeah. Funchess is big. Right.
Yeah. They're long, right, like a Funchess. Right. They're fast, like a Ted Ginn. They've got good hands, like
Greg Olsen.
Exactly. But some players have a few of the, and he said some players actually have a couple of those traits. They're big and they have good hands. They're fast and they have good hands. Mm-hmm. But he was pointing to a guy like Julio Jones, who said, it's just simply true, is what's great about the guy. He's big. He's got short range speed. He's got that quick twitch. He's got that quick twitch. Another tough one when you're drinking a tall boy. He's got the ability to make plays downfield in short space. There's an explosive. He's got all the tools.
You're right.
And maybe is the point with the Carolina Panthers, just like, and some people raise this question, is has the Carolina Panthers with Dave Gettleman, have they gone just too locked into let's just be the big team?
Right. They need to.
Let's just be the big team.
They do need to incorporate the speed in offense, and I think they realize that. I think that is something that they're looking for in this draft, is trying to bring somebody who can make a difference with the speed element, something we're lacking severely. But at least they're aware of it, and maybe that's what Shula needs. God knows he needs something to be able to get the
versatility. I won't say too one-dimensional. We're like two-dimensional. There's not a lot to it.
Right. We need more than what we have currently on the roster.
All right. So the Super Bowl, Joey, we've got another episode going to the Super Bowl. How can you deal with it? All right. Oh, I did want to say this, is that, you know, I've been the politics dude right now. And we're not going to talk politics. We're not going to talk any issues or anything like that. But I have tried to, in many ways, CarolinaCatChronicles.com and the C3 podcast has been a means for me to redirect my passion and my energy for life away from social media discussion about politics to something that I can feel better about, which is Carolina Panthers and being a fan. And I felt like I've done that for 3 years, dude. Like, I mean, I've really Now, I'm not going to say I haven't walked that, you know, I haven't gotten a taste of that a little bit on the side, but I've focused most of my energy on things that are lesser gravity than The Nation and Bliss and that.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that. It's a good release. And then all of a sudden, since the inauguration, it has been like injected back into my bloodstream. Like I can't, it's everywhere I go. It's everywhere I turn. It's got a lot to do with people I know, you know, and all of this. But I can handle it. I'm okay. I'm in a good place when it comes to this arguing, this fighting. And I'm going to do my little bit, but I'm not going to overdo. But really, what's made it so tough, Joey, is that the damn Falcons are playing the Patriots. I gotta see this crap too. It's right. Not, it's like I'll be looking at these terrible political discussions. I'll be getting furious. And I think, man, there's nothing that can make me matter. And then I see damn Falcon fans talking about going to Super Bowl. And I'm so, I can't handle it.
Now you're using the political writing as a way of alleviating your anger about the NFL.
Yes. Mario said, look, he said my Facebook feed was on fire today. Right. And that's the truth. It was like burning down but I really, truly believe one of the weird things has been that my wife is less political than I am, right? So I like to be into these types of things. They're interesting to me. And so now I've, like, for years I talked about all that crap. And, like, all the people that I love and care about, like, hardly cared about anything. And not that they didn't care, like, as human beings and as citizens, but they didn't want to, like, just talk with me about it for hours and hours and hours.
Right.
Right. And I'm sitting there dying to talk about these things. I'm dying to, I want to talk about these things. Now, they all want to talk about this crap. And I don't want to. And then I got to look at this Falcons mess. And I got to look at these I want to turn to sports. And that's worse than trying to talk with these people that all of a sudden want to talk politics with me.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a lose-lose situation.
I'm at an impasse. And I don't think that it's going to get better until after the Super Bowl. And if the Falcons win, it won't get better. It will only get worse. I am going to start. We have to start an anti-Falcons march if they win the Super Bowl. Let's march on Atlanta. And by the way, I respect everybody who is protesting whatever you're interested in. But right now, what I'm interested in is saying, these Falcons, if they win the Super Bowl, Joey, I don't think I can make it.
Well, you'll have to.
I just put my heart out there.
You got too many people counting on you to not make it over the Falcons winning the Super Bowl.
Yeah. All right. Okay, well, Joey, I'm tired of talking about all this stuff.
Yes, I can tell you're tired. I know school is back for you, so you're a very busy man. You just did a houseful of flooring the other day. But Miranda did an amazing job, man. Absolutely amazing.
We put down about 300 square foot of the most beautiful.
It was beautiful.
Floors. These are, if you go to the store, we put wood floors in our house. We've done three. This is our third one, Joey. So we did a fake floor at our old house.
Yeah.
And I don't mean fake, a laminate, you know what I'm saying? But it was snap.
Right.
Snap, 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 snap. So that was our first try. Then we moved to our home that we have now. It's very big. What we chose to do, we put down a ton of bamboo flooring, which is beautiful. It's really nice hardwood. It cost about, think about this, this is the price, roughly $3.40 a square foot. Now, when you think about this, if you go up a dollar or down a dollar, it doesn't sound a lot on the face of it, But when you think of what the percentage of that is, you're talking about increasing the cost by 30% just with a dollar, or decreasing it, right?
Right.
And it doesn't sound like a lot on the face, but when you add it up by 800 or 300, it makes a big difference. It's beautiful flooring. We put this down. So my in-laws, they decided to get, they wanted to replace their carpet. They asked us if we could do it for them. And Miranda and I agreed to help, you know, to do it. And we went in and did this. They bought what, and they've lived in their house for a long time, right? So they bought the most gorgeous wood. And it was what they call Brazilian oak. And it is made by this company called Bella Wood. Mm-hmm. And it is like the top of the line. So ours is like, the, I mean, if you're looking at the podcast right now, it's like maybe more than, it's more than, it's like a half inch, right? Is what the stuff in my house is. It's fantastic. It's really 333, 340 a square foot. They got the 3/4 inch Brazilian oak Bella, which is the top name around the top of all this. It's like $5.40 a square foot.
Wow.
And I mean, if you add that up into what you did to your cost, it's a lot. And I tell you this, our floors are nice, Joey. We did a good job, but we, Miranda and I, crushed our in-laws' floors.
You did, the pictures you showed, they were so beautiful, man. You guys did an amazing job. You're getting good at it. You really
like
are.
The, like when you look at the, what you do when you're putting in stuff like that, is anybody can do most of it. It's when you look like in the corners, right, around the fireplace.
Right.
That's when you find out if it's amateur hour or pro hour. But with all of that, their floors are so thick, and with the subflooring that we put in, when you walk on it, dude, it has a feeling of an unpolished, like, bowling alley. And wow, what I mean by that is that it doesn't give.
Right.
And that is awesome. Like, for some just overlay type, I mean, it is solid as a rock. Like, I actually feel with what we did to their house, if a tornado hit, their whole house would be taken down, and then there would be like a dance floor. All right. So this is the C3 Carolina Panthers podcast, brought to you by CarolinaCatChronicles.com. My name is Tony Dunn. I'm here with my best buddy, Joey Riolano. And when I say that, Joey is truly my best friend, and it's wonderful to hang out with him every Tuesday night. Joey, tell them how they can. Well, we need to do our ice up picks. Almost
forgot. Yeah, we do. We do.
What do you got?
Ice up pick this week for me goes to the Green Bay Packers, the Cheeseheads. I don't know what they were thinking, leaving one-on-one coverage with Julio Jones, the cornerback that they had covering him, ran a 4.7. My God, I can get out there and cover Julio Jones, and do just as bad a job.
You mean like the Carolina Panthers?
Right, exactly. Just pathetic. I don't know where the offense went. The offensive line played awful. I was really hoping Green Bay, if nothing else, would give them a good game. Wasn't even entertained. Green Bay didn't show up. They stayed on the bus. So, Green Bay Packers and their head coach, I can't think of his name off the top of my head. I forget. But they definitely need to ice up. Take this whole offseason and ice up and think about where you could have been and where you are.
You know, I feel like for my ice up pick that I've been so inundated with people that have just rubbed me the wrong way that the list is so long and undistinguished that I could go on and on and on for ice up picks. But ultimately, what I want to say is I'm going to ice up all people who are not interested in progress. And what I mean by that is it's time for us to be humble, to be compassionate, to be understanding as people, but never as football fans. So when it comes to our nation, I say you work to further our country in the way that you feel is best. Be active, but do not ever compromise when it comes to football. And if you cheer for the Atlanta Falcons in this damn game in the Super Bowl, I'm pre-icing you up.
Right.
That's what tricked you. Tricked you.
Particularly if you're a Panther fan and you're cheering for the Atlanta Falcons, really think about what you're doing. You know?
I can't.
If you're a Panther fan and you cheer for the Falcons, are you really a Panther fan?
I say build a wall around them.
Don't let them back in.
No, no. They are done to me. They are dead to me.
That's
this
right.
is Tony Dunn, and they're done to me. And I tell, and I say to you, ice up. All right, Joey, this is the C3 podcast. Joe, I'm not even going to play the music. We are never cheering for the Panther for the Falcons.
As Panther fans. Swan
says, as Panther fans. And Joe, I'll see you next Tuesday, where I will only rev up that angst.
All right. Good night, guys. I am the Freak of Puerto Rican, a.k.a. Joe Villano. And as usual, Tuesday night, don't miss the action. Hot and heavy. Falcons.
Falcons. Deflatriates. I hope you do.